Greetings and welcome to The Fuse, the podcast of Confluence Concerts. My name is Larry Beckwith. As we continue our 2024-2025 season, we present episodes of The Fuse from time to time, not only as a source of information and enrichment about Confluence projects, but in a wider celebration of the important work being done by Toronto area musicians and companies. On this episode, we are sharing a delightful conversation I had recently with the world-renowned Canadian soprano Barbara Hannigan, who is coming to Toronto for a recital this month with pianist Bertrand Chamailloux. We'll speak about her busy life as a singer and conductor, and her important work as a champion of modern music and young talent. Barbara Hannigan, my guest on this episode of The Fuse. Hello, and thank you so much for joining me. We at Confluence Concerts are still buzzing from our latest concert, Robert Burns, A Passion for Freedom, which was a big hit. We're so grateful to those of you who attended, and to guest curator Allison Mackay and the remarkable R.H. Thompson, and all the performers for such a splendid show. More details later in the podcast about our upcoming Young Artist Concert, put together by this year's Confluence Young Associate, Aidan McConnell. As listeners are aware, we are fashioning this podcast to focus not only on the work of our company, but on the tremendous scope and richness of the music scene in Toronto. One of our premier concert halls, Kerner Hall at the Royal Conservatory of Music, offers a brilliant array of local and international musical events all year long. On Thursday, November 28th, the Conservatory welcomes the sensational Canadian soprano Barbara Hannigan with pianist Bertrand Chamailloux in a program of works by Olivier Messiaen, Alexander Scriabin, and John Zorn. Embodying music with an unparalleled dramatic sensibility, soprano and conductor Barbara Hannigan is an artist at the forefront of creation. The Canadian musician has shown a profound commitment to the music of our time and has given the world premiere performances of over 90 new works. The New Yorker has called her one of the most vital and original musicians of her generation. Barbara Hannigan, welcome to The Fuse.
Thank you, Larry. It's great to be with you.
It's so great to hear your voice and to know that you're coming to Toronto very soon with a very special program, which we'll get into talking about in a little while. But I'm just wondering, in general, what are you up to these days? Where is your musical life taking you?
Yeah, well, today I'm at home, actually, which is really nice. I live in Bretagne, in Finistère, which is the northwest corner of France. And I got home last night. I had been in Holland for a recital, a solo recital with piano of works exclusively by John Zorn, including a world premiere. So it was about, I guess it was about 65, 70 minutes straight singing, which wow. For anybody that knows his music is pretty intense. And it was really fun. I was with Steve Gosling, who is John's kind of first call pianist in New York. So Steve flew over and I've worked with him a lot. And we did the show. So that was great. And I had lived in Holland for 20 years. So I had a lot of friends there and a lot of people who watched me, you know, growing up from age 24. So that was really nice. And a few days before that, I was in Switzerland in Winterthur, where lives the oldest orchestra in Switzerland, the Collegium Musicum, fantastic orchestra, who I've been working with as a conductor for the last 4 years, every year. And I made a really cool program for them, With the first half was music by Charles Ives, Ruth Crawford Seeger, and Claude Vivier.
Right.
And this plus, and I always open. It was Claude Vivier's "Lonely Child," and I always have a short piece before "Lonely Child," which is a kind of berceuse or lullaby in the language of whoever my soloist is for the piece. So in this case, it was an Algerian singer. So I had made an arrangement for string orchestra of several Algerian songs that were kind of lullabies. She and I actually sang together with the orchestra. And then the second half was the Chamber Symphony by Schraker, Franz Schraker, which is an unbelievable piece from 1916 for 23 instruments. It was the first time I've done it, and it was really hard to say goodbye. We did three performances because it's just so fabulous. And I can't wait to do that piece again. I just loved it.
Amazing. What is the balance in your current life between conducting and singing? Is it an even split or?
It depends on the year. This season started, I mean, September, let's say, more or less started with 2 back-to-back weeks conducting in Gothenburg, and then another conducting week with Radio France, all different repertoire. And not, as you can imagine, knowing me a little bit, not like super easy. And then the Winterthur week, and then after Winterthur, that was my last conducting engagement for 2024.
Oh.
And so then I had the John Zorn recital, and now I'll do the tour, which we'll talk about a little bit, the recital tour until Christmas. I mean, normally it's about 65% conducting, 65 to 70, 75 maybe. But this year seems to have a lot of singing, actually, or this season has a lot of singing, which is fine by me. And I really wanted to work with a director named Romeo Castellucci. So a project came up where we would do the Pergolesi Stabat Mater combined with music by Giacinto Scelsi,
Wow.
who is a really off the wall, was a really off the wall Italian composer. So I'll be singing the Stabat Mater with Jacob Orlinski, who's countertenor, really fine countertenor. And then I'll be leading or conducting the Scelsi works, and it'll be a kind of installation in the Geneva Cathedral. So that's a kind of a big project. That's, when I do
Interesting.
opera projects, then it's, a good six weeks in one place. But until then, I'll be m most well, actually, from the end of January, I'll be conducting again. But during January, I'll be singing with London Symphony and Rattle and my recital program. So I guess it's quite a vocal heavy year, which is nice. My voice feels great, so I might as well use it.
I was hoping to be able to ask you this, so maybe I'll just ask it now because you mentioned the Pergolesi. I have very fond memories of you singing early music, and I was going to ask if you had any chances these days to sing early music, and also in your mind whether there is a strong connection between early music and some of the more extended modern music
Contemporary
that you
stuff.
do.
Yes. Actually, I have an album coming out in the spring, which is inspired by Hildegard of Bingen, Barbara Strozzi, and Francesca Caccini. And I'm singing two pretty big pieces of Hildegard, plus some very interesting reimaginings of the Strozzi and the Caccini. It's an album with the Lebec sisters, Katia and Maria Lebec on piano, live electronics with David Chalmin, and a couple of new compositions as well. So all the old music is arranged in really modern, like some really funky stuff. and or improvisations that I'm doing with the live electronics. But also the composer Bryce Dessner composed a few pieces that are using the lingua ignota, the invented language of Hildegard. And somehow, I mean, musically also connect to the whole program. So funnily enough, this season I'm doing more old stuff. I used to do a lot of it.
Yeah.
I used to do a lot of it. And also when I first came to Holland, I did a lot of it. And as a conductor, I don't know how many times I've done it now, but one of my weeks in Gothenburg was the Mozart Requiem as a conductor. And I'm pretty well, I'm doing at least two or three Haydn symphonies a year. So the old stuff still gets into my life.
Right.
But I'll be curious to do the Pergolesi, actually. I sang it in Holland a few times, but it's been a while. So it'll be very interesting to approach it. It's with the Baroque ensemble Pomodoro. So
Such an amazing piece, but it is a bit relentless. So that sounds fascinating that you're sort of pairing it up with something a little more wild.
I think it's going to be really well, it was Castellucci's idea, actually. But I helped kind of choose the which pieces we would do of Chelsea. I'm quite curious. It seems a long way away. It's in May, and I have a lot of music to learn before then,
Right.
like big piles of music that make me nervous. But I think every musician feels like that. You just and especially Christmas is the worst because the turning from the 31st to January 1st, all of a sudden everything feels like it's just standing there staring at you. So I have some really interesting pieces to learn for January, including a huge piece by Carl Ruggles called Sun Treader, which is an orchestral piece he wrote in the 1930s. And I'm going to do it with Munich Philharmonic. So that's I have an all-American program for them
Wow.
planned. It's the week of the inauguration.
Interesting.
it's all American music written mostly around the 1920s and 30s, if not before. Ives, Wallingford Rieger, Study in Sonority, which nobody knows. Ruth Crawford Seeger, Risalty Rolfsalty, which nobody knows. The Ives Sun Treader and the Bennett Porgy and Bess Symphonic Pictures, which is such a fabulous piece. I mean, the Gershwin is already fabulous. And then Fritz Reiner asked Robert Russell Bennett to make an arrangement for him, and which is called Symphonic Pictures. It's about 30 minutes. I think it's better than Catfish Row. I think it's a really great orchestral arrangement. And very, very moving.
You are listening to The Fuse, the podcast of Confluence Concerts. My name is Larry Beckwith. And on this episode, I'm speaking with soprano and conductor Barbara Hannigan in advance of her return to Toronto's Kerner Hall in recital with pianist Bertrand Chamailloux. We'll return to our conversation in a few minutes, but let's hear a little of Barbara's artistry now. From a May 2024 release of the music of Olivier Messiaen, here are soprano Barbara Hannigan and pianist Bertrand Chamailloux with Antienne du Silence, Anthem of Silence for the Day of the Guardian Angels, from the song cycle Chants de Terre et de Ciel by Olivier Messiaen. Soprano Barbara Hannigan and pianist Bertrand Chamailloux performing Antienne du Silence from the song cycle Chants de Terre et de Ciel by Olivier Messiaen. The cycle will be performed by these two exceptional artists in recital at Kerner Hall in Toronto on Thursday, November 28th. You're listening to The Fuse, the podcast of Confluence Concerts. My name is Larry Beckwith. Barbara Hannigan made her professional debut in Toronto at the age of 19, and for over three decades now, she has taken the world by storm with her fiercely original, highly energized, and fearless approach to performance. She has won awards, including recently being named the 2024 Musician of the Year by Musical America, and she has numerous associations and appointments, including Professor of Music at the Royal Academy of Music in London, Principal Guest Conductor of the Lausanne Chamber Orchestra, Principal Guest Conductor of the Göteborgs Symphoniker, Premier Artiste Invité of the Radio France Philharmonic Orchestra in Paris, Associate Artist of London Symphony Orchestra, and beginning in August 2026, Chief Conductor and Artistic Director of the Iceland Symphony Orchestra. She is embarking on an ambitious tour of North America in the coming days, including a stop here in Toronto. My conversation with Barbara picks up with her describing the scope of the tour.
So yeah, it's a 10-city tour. We start on the East Coast, and then we go west for several cities and Canada and the States, and then we come back east, finishing in with Ottawa and Washington. So with the two nations' capitals back to back. And the repertoire is Messiaen, Chant de Terre et de Ciel, Scriabin, Poème Nocturne, and Vers la Flamme. Both pieces are for solo piano. And then John Zorn, Jumalateret. And each piece is extremely spiritual and mystical. In a way, as we come towards the darkest day of the year, the winter solstice, it's a program that really goes into, yeah, I think a deep kind of spiritual connection. Of course, Messiaen was a very devout Catholic, and his music, this song cycle particularly, is in a way looking at his family unit. You know, his wife Claire Delbos and their son Pascal, this family as, you know, a little bit, you know, the earthly mirror of heaven. But also, I think, even more so, fulfilling his purpose and their purpose. And it's such a joyful song cycle, for the most part. It's a thrill to sing. It's very demanding. I love it. And I recorded it with Bertrand Chamailloux, with whom I'm doing the tour. And so he's like, he's a powerhouse soloist, you know. He's over here in Europe, he's kind of first call for a lot of concertos and particular repertoire. Messiaen, of course, the French repertoire, Ravel, and he's, but also, I mean, pretty well anything he can play. he's a phenomenal pianist, and I've been working with him for a few years. And so we wanted to do this tour, and I wanted to put the John Zorn on the program because it's a piece which is inspired by the goddesses of the Finnish Kalevala, which is some Finnish mythology in a way, including Luonnontar, you know, including the creators of heaven and earth, really. Mm-hmm. And so opening with the Messiaen, which is so, you know, steeped in Catholicism, through Scriabin, which is kind of going into Theosophy and Madame Blavatsky, that kind of mysticism, you know, and then ending with the John Zorn, which is a very modern piece, but with a very old mythology, pre-Christian. Yeah, it's a very exciting program to tour. We do it without intermission. So it's 70 minutes top to tail.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
It's ecstatic. I think that's, in a way, that's the word. And that's where we have to go with it in our performance. And we've performed it three times in Europe already. So we've done it, actually four. We've done it twice in France, Once in Berlin at the Boulez Saal and once at the Teatro San Carlo in Naples. So it's really had its first serious outings, and now we bring it to North America, and it's my first recital tour since 2017. So
Interesting.
I had come to North America with Reinbert De Leo, who was my lodestar,
Yeah.
really. And that was a second Viennese school recital program that we did. And Reinbert passed away in 2020. And we already knew a year before that that he wasn't going to be able to play anymore. And he knew that I was going to do this recital with Bertrand, and I think he would have loved to hear it. Really, he would have loved it. Yeah.
Tell me about your connection with John Zorn, and for listeners who aren't familiar with his music, I've been listening to quite a bit of it just in preparation for your recital and also for talking with you, and I'm really captured by by the wildness of it, by the improvisatory nature, but also there is a certain order to it
Oh
that
yeah.
is really, really captivating.
Yeah, I mean
How did
it.
you get involved with him, and what's the connection?
So I met John in 2015, but going back, I mean, I remember when I was at U of T, hanging out with friends and listening to John Zorn recordings. So I was certainly aware of his music back then. And my sister, who was studying in Montreal, and my brother, who was studying in Nova Scotia, they also were listening to John Zorn at the same time. He comes from the jazz world. He's a saxophone player. He still plays sax. He's 71 years old now. He plays the organ. He composes furiously and never on commission. His composing is only done by his own passion, and he writes for whom he wants to write and not never on request. And we met in 2015. I was in New York, and a couple different people suggested that we meet, and we ended up having lunch together. I was there to sing Written on Skin by George Benjamin. And so John and I had lunch on where he lives, down where he lives, Lower East Side. We had a really interesting conversation, and that was kind of the beginning of the idea of working together. And he, soon after that, he gave me this piece, Yuma Lateret, the one I'm doing on this tour, which is completely composed. There's no improvising in it at all. Every single note is written. And we had the plan that I was that he gave it to me some maybe around 2016 or something, and we had hoped that we might record it in 2017 and start performing it, but it was so difficult. I've never done this before. Like, I had to postpone the recording and I had to postpone the premiere, and finally in the summer of 2018 we premiered it in Portugal, and then since then I have performed it a lot, a lot, a lot. Including 2 days ago. It's absolutely thrilling piece. And since this beginning of working together, once I got Yuma Lateret in my bones, I really incorporated it, and a deep trust, artistic trust, developed between John and I. So then he wrote another piece for me inspired by Emily Dickinson, and then he wrote a piece for me with string quartet, then he wrote a piece for me with vibraphone, cello, percussion, and optional live electronics. All of these were completely composed. And then he wrote a piece for me in which I would improvise called Starcatcher, which is for soprano and piano and upright bass and drums. And the upright bass and drums are improvising but following the soprano and piano score. And me and Steve Gosling, who's playing piano on that piece, we're mostly notated, but there are improvisatory sections for me. There are two moments where I have to improvise within the piece. And also in the new piece of John's that I premiered a couple of days ago, there was also one part of it I had to improvise, and everything else is notated. And usually the notated stuff is fiendishly difficult. So actually, improvising is a bit of a relief, you know, because the other stuff is just so difficult. I mean, it really breaks you. You know, it's just you have to just work and work and work and work and surrender to the work without judging. Because if you start judging yourself, I can't imagine anyone having enough confidence to think they're ever going to make it, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. But now Yuma La Tourette is, it really is an ecstatic experience to perform. And audiences really go nuts for it. So I'm very happy to pair it with Messiaen and Scriabin and to take it all over for this tour.
You are listening to The Fuse, the podcast of Confluence Concerts. My name is Larry Beckwith. And on this episode, I'm speaking with soprano and conductor Barbara Hannigan in advance of her return to Toronto's Kerner Hall in recital with pianist Bertrand Chamaillou. We'll return to our conversation in a few minutes. We heard Barbara speaking about her numerous recent collaborations with the 71-year-old American composer and saxophone player John Zorn. She has recently released two volumes of recordings of Zorn's vocal music, much of it specifically written for her. We'll hear a short piece from Hannigan Sings Zorn, Volume 1, from June of this year, and I'll read a bit here from the liner notes. A remarkable meeting of two musical forces of nature, finally available on recording. Barbara Hannigan is one of the most fearless and passionate performers in the classical world, and here she sings a challenging program of Zorn compositions with the virtuoso pianist Stephen Gosling. Featured here is the long-awaited recording of Yuma La Tourette, a song cycle in praise of nine Finnish goddesses out of Sami shamanism, and Split the Lark, Zorn's tribute to the magical American poet Emily Dickinson. Using a variety of musical techniques and genres, the music moves from lyrical folk-like simplicity to more complex atonal and textural pyrotechnics. Included as a bonus is a rare piece of juvenilia, the charming surrealistic song Nazdar Poupon Nazdar, composed circa 1971 when Zorn was about 17 years old. It's a very early example of Zorn's multi-layered genre smashing. In its brief 2 minutes duration, it contains traditional, proportional, and graphic notation, and touches upon tonality, atonality, Messiaen birdsong, jazz, cartoon music, lyricism, French recitativo, whispering, vocalese, and vocal noises. Here's that brief, rare piece from the imagination of the 17-year-old John Zorn, Nazdar Poupon Nazdar, performed by soprano Barbara Hannigan and pianist Stephen Gosling.
Jeune fille. Enfin, le hibou était en semblance de festivité à cause de la chiche comme notre poète qui parle beaucoup, mais dit rien.
Soprano Barbara Hannigan and pianist Stephen Gosling performing Nazdar Poupon Nazdar, a very old piece by John Zorn, taken from the recent recording Hannigan Sings Zorn, Volume 1. A major work on that recording is Yuma Lateret, which Barbara and pianist Bertrand Chamailloux will be performing at Kerner Hall in their upcoming recital. Now back to the final portion of my conversation with Barbara Hannigan. I asked her about her commitment to education and the masterclasses she will be conducting during her upcoming North American tour.
Yeah, well, I wanted to do masterclasses on the tour when possible, and I'm actually glad that it ended up only being five, because I think it is very tiring to do masterclasses. It takes a lot of energy emotionally, because you're right next to young artists who have hopes and dreams, and you're really trying to help break through, because the masterclass format is often a place where, you know, you're saying probably the same thing that their teachers or coaches have said for a long time, but for some reason, often in the under the pressure of a masterclass and only meeting that person once, they finally listen to the way you said it, you know, which I'm sure drives their teachers crazy, but maybe also makes them happy if they stick to it, you know. And, you know, a big part of my time is working with younger colleagues. And I started an initiative in 2018 called Equilibrium, which is a mentoring initiative to help young artists through those first substantial years of their professional career. Because I thought that's a little bit where there's a kind of a gap in the system. We have tons of young artist programs and summer programs and so on, but the ones for professionals where they actually, the process also includes performances where they're, you know, considered professional, most of the time being paid quite well. I thought that was the place where maybe I could be of help. So sometimes I do opera productions, sometimes I do, you know, oratorio productions or Pulcinella of Stravinsky or the Rake's Progress. We've done several times with a lot of orchestras, Mozart Requiem and so on, and lots of chamber music. Actually, just before I got on the phone with you, I was talking to a Cuban bass baritone who was part of my program in the first couple of years. And he was just kind of riffing a new idea that he had and bouncing it off me. And we were just kind of, I was just helping point him in the right direction. And I think that can be so helpful, you know? Mm-hmm. So I love doing masterclasses. And in this case, it's, you know, for people that are still in school. And that's a big part of my year, actually. I do it, quote unquote, for fun. Yeah, I mean, it's exhausting, but it can be very helpful, you know?
And you're hopeful about the music world as we go forward. I do speak to people who have, you know, who are depressed a little bit about audience sizes and a certain conservatism in programming and that kind of thing. But it seems like you're just going forward full steam, which is amazing.
Well, if you look at my programs, I mean, my programs are not conservative at all. And I really place my trust in the audience, and they place their trust in me, that these are great programs. And that they have a true, authentic reason for why I've put these pieces together. And it becomes very clear, I think. Of course, getting the people to the concert hall is important. And I do a lot of work on that. I mean, I spend much more time, in dialogue with the people that are doing social media for the orchestras or for me, to try and really get the word out. But on the other hand, as far as, the younger generation, they've got amazing ideas.
Yes, they do.
They're coming up with such cool programs. Like in Toronto, you have the Happenstancers. That group is super interesting. I know a bunch of them because we crossed paths via Equilibrium, and even some of them even before, like Danica, I worked with when she was at U of T. I came and did a master class, and I think I did private lesson with her actually. So it's really interesting to see what they're coming up with because we've got to let it change and have its own metamorphosis. And I don't think audiences are sitting there waiting to hear the quote unquote canon be programmed time after time. I'm proud that I've never sung the Messiah. I mean, I also feel like, there are people that the only classical music concert they go to any year, every year, is the Messiah. But what if we didn't offer them, 25 Messiahs to go to? What if we offered them the Christmas oratorios or a very spiritual program that involved maybe some of the Messiah mixed with other pieces? I mean, that has happened, I know, but it's why our traditions, we hold on to our traditions sometimes, and I think we need to question if there's a little bit of wiggle room,
That's a great place to leave this, probably. We're really looking forward to your recital here in Toronto, and I know you're doing a master class at U of T, which is great. And I guess we'll see you in a couple of weeks, and good luck with it until then.
Thanks. Yeah,
And
I'm woodshedding now, the final woodshedding.
right.
Yeah, but I'm happy. I feel it's very joyful work. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank
Well,
you,
great to
Barbara.
talk to you, Larry. Yeah,
Lovely
thanks.
to hear your voice, and we'll be seeing you soon.
Yeah, I'll see you soon. Okay. Bye, Larry.
Canadian soprano Barbara Hannigan, in a recent conversation in advance of her North American tour, which will be stopping in Toronto on Thursday, November 28th. A wonderful program of the music of Olivier Messiaen, Alexander Scriabin, and John Zorn, with the celebrated pianist Bertrand Chamailloux. For tickets, please visit rcmusic.com. The next Confluence concert takes place on December 10th at Heliconian Hall. Entitled Letters to the Author, it comes from the fertile imagination of our young associate artist, Aidan McConnell. You can visit confluenceconcerts.ca for information and tickets. That's all for this episode of The Fuse. Thank you so much for joining us, and my thanks to the wonderful Barbara Hannigan for a lovely conversation. Past episodes of The Fuse are available wherever you get your podcasts, and if you have an opportunity to rate us and share the episodes with anyone you feel would be interested, we'd be very grateful. My name is Larry Beckwith, and I look forward to speaking with you again soon. Bye for now.